Welcome to Hearts to Believe. So good to have you join with us. Today, Jim Barber will be continuing in his series from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 30 and 31, with a message called Mighty Walls in Pieces. Lord, bless your word, we pray, and strengthen us through it. Receive praise, honor, and all the glory we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hebrews chapter 11, verses 30 and 31. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. We come in our search of faith and how that people walked by faith. Lives of stellar example that are held out to us, men and women who gained God's approval. We come past a number of men and women who we have considered to this point that are outlined for us in Hebrews chapter 11. We now come to a very critical point in the life of the journey of the children of Israel. They had come out of Egypt. They had come through the Red Sea as it had parted. They had tabernacled at Mount Sinai for a time, and they pressed their way on through their wilderness wanderings. Having come once to the border of Israel, to the promised land rather, and having been turned away because of their rebellion, now 40 years have passed, and they enter in the walls of Jericho. They circle according to God's plan. They are under the leadership of Joshua now, and one family only is preserved out of all those who sought refuge behind the mighty walls of Jericho. I want to consider with you this very instructive period in the life and in the history of the children of Israel. We have considered Abraham and Isaac, Jacob. We have considered Joseph and his brethren, the patriarchs as they are known. But each of those, they were looking forward in anticipation. We read that all of these individuals died without having received that which was promised to them. And it seemed a bit of a stretch at times, a desperate stretch, that God was going to do what God said he would do, give a posterity that was as numerous as the sand upon the seashore, or as numerous as the stars which fill the nighttime sky. But God, he was true to his word. But those individuals, they died. They went to their grave not having seen it in this world, but having received it, having welcomed it, having declared that in this world they were strangers and that they were looking for a city whose foundations are prepared by God. Now, we have come through Egypt and through the Red Sea and past Mount Sinai. Now there is a time of desperate danger. Moses, he is the mouthpiece through which God gives very stern warnings that the people, when they come into the promised land and when God gives them vineyards which they had not planted and houses to live in which they had not built, when they prosper in the land, God says to them, you are to be very, very careful that you don't get the idea in your head, my arm and my strength, my ability has gained all of this for me. And that the people trust in themselves and they forget about the Lord. And they forget about the great things that God had done for them. And that they forget that in a continual manner, in a continuous way that God is the one through whom all of these things take place, and that the people start to go after other gods and to worship them and to give credit where credit is most certainly not due, and glory where it should never be assigned. I want to take you, as we consider these two verses out of Hebrews chapter 11, I want to take you back into both Deuteronomy and into Joshua, where we hear of what is taking place as it's first of all recorded by Moses and by others who would come thereafter. First of all, Moses. He would not enter into the promised land. God would be the one who would bury the workman, Moses. But Moses, as he is about 120 years of age, he gives warning. He is the mouthpiece through which messages that we find here in Deuteronomy, messages which warn the people, be careful. With all diligence, watch yourselves. Watch the thoughts that are forming in your head. Remind yourself continually that it was God who has done these things. Deuteronomy chapter 1 takes us right back to the very earliest point in the 40 years of the wanderings. And after they come past Mount Sinai and receive the commandments that God gave to the people through Moses, they come for the first time to the border of the promised land. I'm reading from Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 22. Moses writes, "Then all of you approached me and said, 'Let us send men before us, that they may search out the land for us and bring back to us word of the way by which we should go up and the cities which we shall enter.' The thing pleased me, and I took 12 of your men, one man for each tribe. They turned and went up into the hill country and came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. Then they took some of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us, and they brought us back a report and said, 'It is a good land which the Lord our God is about to give us.' Yet you were not willing to go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you grumbled in your tents and said, 'Because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have made our hearts melt, saying, "The people are bigger and taller than we. The cities are large and fortified to heaven. And besides, we saw the sons of the Anakim there." Then I said to you, "Do not be shocked, nor fear them. The Lord your God, who goes before you, will himself fight on your behalf, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness, where you saw how the Lord your God carried you, just as a man carries his son, in all the way which you have walked until you came to this place. But for all this, you did not trust the Lord your God." Moses, he had experienced the way of the children of Israel, that they had rebelled against his leadership. They had rebelled against God's command. It wasn't simply Moses' word. It was God's command. And the people, they were prone to say, "Let's go back to Egypt." And Egypt in the scripture here is such a picture of the world. The people of God, they were saying, let's forget about this God who has supposedly brought us out. The world treated us better than this God who has brought us to this point. Moses, he was speaking God's words, but he also knew in his own heart how quick the people were to say, well, enough of that. We've given it a try. We've stuck our finger in the water and we don't like the temperature, and so we're going to go and check out other pools and ponds. We're going to find something that is far more to our liking. So Moses preaches to the people. He's investing in them. He's planting seeds in their heart, knowing that these seeds would need to germinate and bring forth fruit when he, their shepherd, would not be with them. He's looking ahead. Moses, he's continuing to walk by faith. He's believing that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the word of God he's pushing into those hearts, and he's planting those seeds that there might be a harvest. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9 and verse 15 will serve as excellent examples. I leave you to read the entire chapter 4 of Deuteronomy. So powerful, Moses preaching. Verse 9 of Deuteronomy 4, Moses says, only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, he says, so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life. But make them known, he says, to your sons and grandsons. Verse 15, Moses again. So watch yourselves carefully, since you did not see any form on the day the Lord spoke to you at Horeb, at Mount Sinai, that is, from the midst of the fire, so that you do not act corruptly and make a graven image for yourselves in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, idolatry. He's saying, be careful. You will be surrounded. The nations, they are like this. You are to be a peculiar people. You are to be radically different from all the others. You are to worship the Lord your God, he who is unseen, but yet so very mighty. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 10 to 12. Let me read them also. Moses says, then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied, then watch yourself. Watch so carefully that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery. You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. One and only one is what Moses is saying. There shall be one God and only one. And this carries on through the fifth book of Moses, the book of Deuteronomy. But now come with me to Joshua. Moses has died and he has been buried. God himself being the workman to bury him there. But Joshua was raised up by God. And especially chapters 1 and chapter 2, after the people mourned for Moses and how that all of the people under the care, they didn't know anyone else. Only Joshua and Caleb were left of those who had gone out of Egypt. You recall that God had said, because of the rebellion of the people, all those people, all that generation who left Egypt, their bodies were laid in a grave somewhere in the wilderness. Now it's a whole new generation. Joshua, he's an old man now. He is the leader, and they are moving forward. God instructs them how that they come. They once again send spies into the land, but they already know that it's a good land. They already know that there are immense challenges there, but their trust, their confidence is in God, and their wholehearted desire is that we do things God's way. That is right and that is proper, the way it should be. They send two spies who come to Jericho, and they come into contact with a harlot. Some Bible translations put it an innkeeper. One and the same here. Rahab was a woman, as it were, of ill repute. She was not, you would call, a stellar citizen in Jericho. But God sees the heart. God sees the heart. And so these two, they come, and they are being pursued by the king of Jericho. But Rahab hides those two men and then sends them on their way in safety. But first of all, she makes a deal with them. And the men say, if you do not tell this business of ours, we will preserve your life even as you have preserved our life. However, everyone in your family needs to be in the safety of your home. And there needs to be a scarlet cord hung in the window that our warriors might know this house and those who are within its walls. They are to be protected when we come and attack the city and overpower it, as we surely will. And Rahab says, that's just fine with me. So we read of how that this takes place. Chapter 1, chapter 2, and then Joshua chapter 6. We read that now Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. No one went out and no one came in. Verse 2, the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and the valiant warriors. And God outlines what to military strategy would surely seem the most crazy, the bonkers plan of how to attack and overpower a city. But the underscoring theme and the message was, it isn't going to be conquered, it isn't going to be overpowered by any muscle in the arms of the people of Israel. This is God's doing, and he is the one who for all eternity is going to receive the credit for what takes place. The people have just crossed over into the land, and here is city number one and territory number one to be overcome. And God wants it to be a signature statement of how that he was doing what he had said he would do, that he was going to provide at this point and at every point thereafter victory upon victory for those who trusted in him. And even though it didn't make sense for Abraham, their great ancestor, it didn't make sense for Abraham to bear that name, father of a multitude, but he trusted that God was going to do what God had said he would do. And so, Joshua chapter 6, we read of how that the city is conquered, and how that after circling the city once every day for 6 days, they come on that seventh day and march those 7 times around the city. And without a word, until that moment when the people shout and the trumpets are blown and the walls fall down flat, those immense walls, they are reduced to rubble on the ground. Except for where Rahab, the woman of faith, is dwelling along with her family. And we read in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 25, however, it's always wonderful when there is something taking place, and in this world it's obvious to see what is going on, but that however, it's the however of faith. Or when there is the word but, B-U-T. And all of a sudden, we bring ourselves into what God is doing. For those who have the eyes to see, those who are not walking by sight, but those who are walking by faith, and they have the perception, they have the vision to see what is going on behind the scenes, and the greater strength and the greater hand, the greater power that is working out the plan of God. However, Rahab the harlot and her father's household and all she had, Joshua spared. And she has lived in the midst of Israel to this day, and she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Rahab essentially disappears from biblical history from that point on. However, the first page of your New Testament we find in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5, a genealogy of Jesus, his family tree. And we read here that Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab. Rahab not only came into the covenant community of the children of Israel, the people of God, so many hundreds of years before Christ was born in Bethlehem, she became a part of the family tree of Messiah. See the goodness of God. That not only was this one welcomed in to have her life preserved, her as well as her family, but as she walked by faith, she became an integral part of Messiah, Jesus himself, coming into this world through this family line. Oh, we come back with new understanding to Hebrews chapter 11, and verse 30 and 31 again. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. Faith does not always make sense. Faith most certainly does not make sense to this world. I'm sure that I am speaking to many who are saying, my family, my friends, my acquaintances, my co-workers, they think it's ever so funny that I am a person of faith, that I take the Bible and that I hold it to myself and that I am trusting in what God has to say on what's going on in this world. Do not expect the world to applaud the Word of God and what God has to say. You are walking a lonely path when you walk by faith. It didn't make sense. People, they will giggle and they will chuckle under their breath at you. Or they might outright scorn you and they might think you a complete imbecile. They might think you are crazy. But we find here that those who went in God's direction, doing things God's way, they gained God's approval. And God brought those mighty walls down, and they enjoyed the victory. But not only for all of those who were coming from that experience at Mount Sinai and elsewhere, but also for the outsider, not only for those who seem to have the privilege held out to them on a silver plate, but also for those who seem to be on the outside. God has a welcome for all who are walking by faith. What was the common denominator between those who had come out of Egypt and who were children of Israel in a physical bloodline? And what was the common denominator between them and Rahab? Simply this, that they walked by faith. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish because she was trusting in God, because her eyes were set upon what God was doing, and she wanted to bring her life into line with that. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient, the king of Jericho and all those valiant warriors, all those on the wall, all of them. For she welcomed the spies in peace, knowing that they were doing God's work. And she said, I will serve this God. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for your mercy and for your kindness. And Lord, continue, we pray, to work within us. Draw us to yourself. Help us to understand the importance, the vital importance of walking by faith, that we might gain your approval. So let it be said in heaven of all of us, that we are indeed walking by faith each and every day. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you again for joining us for Hearts to Believe. Let me remind you of our current free offer. It is a book project entitled The Sermons in the Sermon, and it has the bonus of audio CDs with it. This series of messages from the book of Acts especially focuses upon the preaching of Peter, Stephen, Philip, and Paul. These messages, long or short, were the focus and have been taken to include in 21 brief messages in this book. The CDs contain scripture readings from the King James Version taken from the book of Acts. You will enjoy and be blessed by this presentation. You may ask for it. It will be sent free and postage paid when you write to Hearts to Believe, Box 426, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3C2H6. Or you may call us at 1-833-367-3852. Hearts to Believe is an extension of the Faith to Live By radio and television ministry based in Winnipeg with Pastor Jim Barber. We leave you with the Apostle Peter's benediction. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.